Well, good afternoon. It's great to see you. Thanks so much for coming this lunchtime. As Charmaine mentioned, my name is Dan Wells. I'm on the staff here at All Souls. I'm one of the ordained ministers. But just in case you think that people who work for a church have always worked for a church, that's not the case. I haven't always been working here. I was, for a number of years, a secondary school maths teacher. And let me tell you that telling people that you work as a maths teacher is not an easy conversation opener. Usually, as you tell people that you work as a maths teacher, there is an awkward pause. And then the person in question, after their blank face has gone away, say to you, I couldn't stand maths at school, but I do have a nephew who's very good at it. Well, now, of course, I work for a church. And let me tell you, telling people in conversation that you are a vicar, that you work for a church, is even more of a conversation killer. Because usually people's faces have this look of absolute terror, and there's a long pause as people have absolutely no idea what to say for that. And then eventually they mumble something like this: I'm not very religious myself, but I do have an aunt who goes to church. Now, I've been sort of thinking about that, and I think those two responses show something very interesting about our view of God and how we get to know him. Because I think that we often think that knowing God is a little bit like doing maths. It's difficult, it's not particularly interesting, and it's something that we find impossible to get our heads around. And most importantly, we think of getting to know God as something that we need to do. It's up to us. If God is out there somewhere, well, then it's our responsibility to try and find him. So we might go looking to ancient cathedrals and enjoy going to different churches and seeing what the atmosphere is like, or modern church meetings and having an amazing sort of band and experience that way. We might go in for yoga or meditation or some kind of religious ritual or disciplined observance. You might be someone who's dipped into all of those different things, and you thought, well, that's my search for God. I'm looking for God to see if I can find him. I'll look in all these different places. Maybe you're someone who just enjoys going for a walk in nature, and you think, that's a really good spiritual experience for me. I feel like I'm trying to connect with God as I enjoy the outdoors. Maybe not in central London, but if you get outside where there are green things growing, maybe that's your experience. You know, each one of those things is about our search for God. I'm looking for God. It's as if God is hiding somewhere. And we have to go looking for him. We have to sort of look around every corner, behind every tree, look under every rock, and eventually we might find him. If he's out there somewhere, we've got to look and we might discover him. Well, we're going to look very briefly this lunchtime at what Jesus has to say. Because as usual, when we look at what Jesus has to say, he turns our expectations on their heads. And that Bible passage that Charmaine read for us comes from Luke's account of Jesus' life. It's a careful, historical, put-together account of eyewitness events. And Luke here records a story that Jesus told, which has one surprising message. And it is this: that God comes looking for us. We often think that we need to go looking for God, but God comes looking for us. If you've got it there, just look down at it with me, because it's, on the face of it, a very simple story, isn't it? Here's a person who has a flock of 100 sheep, a small businessman. Yeah, here's a flock of 100 sheep, and one of them goes wandering off and gets lost. Now, apparently, I'm not much of a farmer, but this is not an uncommon event if you are a sheep farmer. Sheep are not the most intelligent creatures. They're very good at going and getting lost. They frequently see a patch of grass that is on some inaccessible place. They eventually work their way there, but they get stuck and they need rescuing. You know, they're sort of driven through Wales. You'll find that sheep very often end up on the road. For some reason, they think that would be a great place to be, and they've got themselves into danger, and therefore they need rescuing. So what happens? Well, the owner of the sheep goes looking for this particular errant sheep and eventually finds it. So he picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, which is apparently a traditional way of carrying sheep. It sounds exhausting to me. And he brings it back home and he throws a party for all of his friends. He said, look, I found my lost sheep. Come and celebrate with me. That's a great story, isn't it? It's very vivid. It sort of generates pictures in our mind. And we think, that is a brilliant picture of my search for God. You know, we're like the shepherd, perhaps, searching high and low for some sense of the transcendent, some spiritual experience and understanding that connects us with God, and when we find it, there's a cause of celebration. But Jesus, as he tells this story, wants us to see that it's actually the other way around. It is about our relationship with God, how we come to know him, but my friends, let me tell you, we are the sheep. I'm sorry if that offends you. That's the picture that Jesus paints for us, that we are each like the sheep. But more importantly, God is the shepherd. God is the owner of the sheep. And therefore, this picture shows us a remarkable thing, that knowing God is not about us looking for God, searching high and low, seeking him out to our own spiritual quest, as if God is like a set of lost keys and we've got to try and find him. That our coming to know God is about God who comes looking for us. And now that really turns things on its head, doesn't it? You know, it means that I couldn't look at my spiritual life like my ability to do maths. All about what I can do, what I can find, what I can achieve. Instead, is about seeing and responding to a God who says to me, here I am. Not a God who is hiding behind a tree or under a rock, but a God who comes out in public and says, here I am. Because you see, that is exactly what Jesus claimed about himself. Have you ever read what Jesus said and did and what he taught and what he did and what that meant? But that is exactly what he did. He came around saying and doing the things that only God would do. He was the person who came and said that he is the God who says, here I am. So he healed the sick. He had control over nature. He raised the dead. He even went around saying that he could forgive sins. And ultimately, he went to the cross, dying for us, and 3 days later, rising from the dead. You see, all that Jesus said, all that Jesus did, demonstrated that he himself was the God who comes looking for us. Not a God who hid himself, but a God who came and said, here I am. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. The Bible contains these 4 first-hand accounts of all that Jesus said and did. Written by 4 people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read any of them and find out what Jesus said about himself. That he was the God who came looking for us. You see, here's an important point. God doesn't just come looking in general, as if he's interested in his sales figures. You know, he's got a quota to make, he's got a target to meet, and as long as he just gets enough people, it doesn't matter who they are, well then he's happy. You see, what Jesus says is that not only does God come looking, he comes looking for you. He is interested in you specifically. Look again at this story that Jesus tells. And here at the beginning of the story, as Jesus says, he tells them this parable, he says this, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, Jesus, of course, is expecting the answer yes, but I'm not sure that's the obvious answer. You see, I think we would probably think from a business point of view, no, you wouldn't. Yeah, 1 sheep out of 100, that's an acceptable loss, isn't it? You can just write it off. You can tell the tax man you'll get a rebate for that one, and you've still got 99. It's the cost of doing business in the livestock trade. But that is not the way that God thinks. Because this shepherd drops everything and goes out looking. It is God who drops everything and goes out looking for you. He does not want anyone to remain lost. He is looking for you. Now, I don't know most of you, but you may well be thinking in your head, well, that's a good thing that you don't know me. Because if you did know me, you know that God wouldn't be interested in me. He'd go looking for the good people. He'd go looking for the religious people. He'd go looking for the people who he'd want around. He wouldn't come looking for me if you just knew me. You would never say that. Well, very kindly, let me say to you, you're wrong. And let me point you to what Jesus does. Look with me at the very beginning of this. Before Jesus gets to the story, what Jesus does. You see, this story is started because of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were the highest of the high in terms of religious observance. But they don't particularly like Jesus. And the reason for that is because they don't like the company he keeps. We're told that he welcomes tax collectors and sinners. He eats with them, which is the most welcoming thing you could do in that culture. Now, these days, tax collectors don't tend to get a very good rap. They're not particularly well liked. We don't like people taking out of our pay packet. But they were even more hated in Jesus' day. And the reason for that is because they worked with the Romans. And the Romans were the foreign occupying power. So these were people who were known as collaborators, who were known as traitors. And these are the people that Jesus chooses to spend time with. Can you imagine if Jesus had an HR department? They'd phone him up, Jesus, I've just been looking at the people that you've been recruiting. We've got a few issues with it. We've done our criminal background check, and I can tell you there's one or two unsavoury people in that bunch. We wouldn't want them on board. We've looked at some other people's LinkedIn profile, and there's some very strange things going on. I want to tell you about one or two careers that these people have had. There are one or two ladies who you wouldn't want to spend time with. They've been sort of unrespectable trades, and there are these people, they're fishermen, they have no qualifications whatsoever. Why would you want them? But you see, these are exactly the people that Jesus comes looking for. And that's not to say these Pharisees, these religious leaders, were okay. Far from it. Jesus had plenty to say to them. And they are just as in need of Jesus as the tax collectors were. The difference is that the Pharisees were still on their own spiritual quest. They were still looking for God themselves. They thought they could do it all on their own. They could sort it out themselves. But the tax collectors, the sinners, well, they were the people that Jesus welcomed and ate with because they were the ones who knew they had nothing to give but themselves. They knew they couldn't find God on their own. They tried it. They failed. They made a mess up. They made mistakes. But here was a God who came looking for them. And it is the same God who says to you, here I am. I have come looking for you. My arms are open wide. Will you respond to the God who comes looking? Let me tell you three ways you could do that. There are three really easy ways. No one's going to twist your arm. No one's going to make you do something you're uncomfortable with. But there are three good ways to follow this up. The first thing you could do is just chat to me or Charmaine afterwards. We'd love to talk to you a bit more. If you've got some questions, things that you'd like to pick up on, I'd love to chat to you about that. That's a very easy way to do that if you've got time this lunchtime. The second thing you could do is come back next Thursday to our lunchtime service, which is at 1:05. Over these weeks, running up to Christmas, we're going to be looking at the opening part of John's Gospel, John's account of Jesus' life. And we're going to be thinking about what Jesus said about himself, what he claimed, and what he did. So if you want to think a bit more about that, that's a very easy way to continue to think about this. And then the third thing you could do is that we run a course called Christianity Explored. It's a short course. It's really easy to come along to. There's food. You've experienced some of the food. If you like what you've eaten, you'll get some more. But also, you'll have a chance to look at what Jesus said about himself from Mark's account of his life and to ask any questions. No one's going to assume that you know or believe anything. But if you want to think about it, it's a great way to do that. That starts at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening here, so you know where to come, you know the quality of the food, you know what to expect. It's a really easy way to come along. You'll find some feedback forms and you'll find a little box you can tick. And we'd love to send you more information about that. But let me tell you, God has come looking for you in Jesus Christ. Will you find out more about that God who has come looking?